We've been, of course, preaching on the love of God the past few weeks. Week one, we talked about the love of God for his people. And then last week, we talked about love for him. How we are called to not only be loved by God, but to love God. Amen? And today, I want to talk about love for others. Love for our neighbor. Love for the stranger. And have a good understanding of that. I believe that it's God's will that this church fulfills the Great Commission of the last day. You believe that? For this town, the town of King, for the Triad area to declare the gospel of Christ with power and not be ashamed of it, but declare it with power. Because it's the gospel. Everybody say gospel. That is the power of God unto salvation. Amen? And we want to do everything we can to preach and teach a pure gospel here and rightly divide the word of truth. Amen? And to preach the word, to be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's what we want to do. And I pray today that you receive the word of the Lord. John 13, go with me if you would. John 13, and we're going to look at verse 34. The Lord has laid a couple of things on my heart that I feel are necessary to give to you today. I know that sometimes when we read God's word, it comes alive, doesn't it? That's because it is a living document. It's the word of God, living in that it has the power to change the lives of people. It also has the power to reveal sin, unrighteousness. It has the power to reveal a wayward soul. It has the power, like a hammer, to beat things out of you, so to speak. So I want you to receive it today. John 13, verse 34. Jesus said these words, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." Now, Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross, and he's getting his disciples prepared for his exit. Of course, he would die, take upon himself the sins of his people, and then he would resurrect. And then 40 days after his resurrection, he ascends to heaven. But during the time leading up to his crucifixion, he prepares his disciples. And he says, "A new commandment, love one another, just as I have loved you. You also love," everybody shout love. Agape, self-sacrificing, making a choice to love one another. "And by this, all people," everybody say people, "will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Now, many people quote verse 34 out of context. They do it all the time. They say, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you." And we think that means to love the world, to love the sinner, like he loves us. But no, he's talking to his disciples. And he says, "I'm commanding you that you love one another, and by this shall all people, the world, know that you are my disciples." Now let me ask you something. How in the world can we show the love of God if we cannot get along with one another? And that's what he was saying. In fact, there's many here today who would go home during the week and talk negatively about church members and leadership in front of people who are lost. And Jesus is saying, "I command you, love one another. Get along with one another. And by that will all people know that you are my disciples." I had a privilege when I was in law enforcement, gang task force unit, that we would observe the local gangs. And one of the hardest things to do in law enforcement is to defeat organized crime, because gangs are loyal to one another. In fact, that's what attracts people to gangs, is the loyalty and the love. And I think about the church. If we're going to attract the world, we're going to have to love one another and get along with each other. No schisms. Come on. No backbiting, no gossiping, not taking offense easily. And when you do take offense, make it right with the person. Because when we love one another, that's when the power of God operates in our midst, and that's when the world will be attracted to us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's what Jesus was referring to here. Jesus was headed to Calvary. During his absence, they were to be governed by the commandment of love. This commandment was not new in point of time, because the Ten Commandments taught love to God and to one's neighbor. But this commandment was new in other ways. It was new because now Jesus would send the Holy Spirit to put the love of God in our hearts. Hallelujah. You can't love God without him first loving you. Right? 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. We love him because he changed our heart and removed the heart of stone and gave us a heart of flesh so that we could have reverence and love, agape, self-sacrificing love toward God. And in turn, Jesus says, now you can love your neighbor. Oh, yes. It was new in that it was superior to the old. The old said, love your neighbor. But the new said, love your enemies. Jesus said in Luke 6:28, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Pray for those who hate you. Now that's a powerful way to put it. Jesus said not only love your neighbor, but love your enemy. The one who does offend you, the one who talks badly about you, love them and pray for them. For those who despitefully use you. Powerful words from Jesus. It has been well said that the law of love to others is now explained with new clarity, enforced by new motives, obligations, illustrated by a new example. Jesus gave us the example, didn't he? We know that he loves us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We see Jeremiah 31, verse 3, God says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God loved you so much that he was willing to become like you and defeat habitual sin by never committing an act of sin. In that he went to the cross a perfect man, he now empowers you and I to be righteous and in turn love him. You believe it? Say amen. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, the badge of Christian discipleship is not a cross worn around the neck, a cross worn on the lapel, or any type of symbol. The true mark of a Christian is love for his fellow Christian. Not necessarily the world. Love for his fellow Christian. And when you have love for one another, the Holy Spirit is going to put the love of God within. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16, what know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost? There he's referring to the body of Christ, not our physical body, the body of Christ. We are indwelt by the Spirit of God, who puts the love of God in our hearts, in which we can express to others. The world is not attracted by your programs. The world is not attracted when you pat them on the back and say, your sin's okay, come join us. The world is attracted by a church that loves one another. Amen. This requires divine power. And this power is only given to those indwelt by the Spirit. Galatians 5:14, turn with me. And let's look at a verse of scripture here. Galatians 5, verse 14, the Apostle Paul. Very powerful, puts the law of Christ into motion. Galatians 5:14, for all, everybody say all. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. When we believers lose the motivation of love, we become critical of others. Have you ever done that? We stop looking for good in them and see only their faults. Now, we should never overlook sin. However, our motive in love should be to restore someone back to to communion with the Father. Do you realize that you and I have been given a ministry of reconciliation? We have been given a ministry to bring people to Jesus and in turn bring people back to Jesus. Amen. That is our ministry, governed by the love of God. Look at chapter 6 of Galatians in verse 1. Brothers, if any man be taken in a fault, overtaken in a fault, restore such a one with a spirit of meekness, lest you be tempted. Verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill, look at it, the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? Love your neighbor as yourself, to bear one another's burdens. Amen? If somebody within this body is hurting, we are hurting. We should feel the pain. We should feel the burden to pray. And if you don't feel that burden, I encourage you, repent today. Come back to your first love. And then make it right with one another. Because that is the burden of the Holy Spirit. What is the law of Christ? One, love one another as yourself. Matthew 22. Turn there. Love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 22, verse 35. Jesus is encountered by some Pharisees, some lawyers, some scribes who want to get him caught up in a pickle. They want him to misspeak. They want him to go off the deep end doctrinally. And listen to what they say. Then one of them, verse 35, Matthew 22. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, that's a scribe, a Pharisee, someone who knew the Old Testament law, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments, underscore verse 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In essence, Jesus was saying, if you want to fulfill the laws of the Old Testament, here's how you do it. Love God with all your heart. That's the first commandment. And in turn, love your neighbor as yourself. The Pharisees, who had classified over 600 laws, often tried to distinguish the more important from the less important. So one of them, here we have it, an expert in religious law, asked Jesus to identify the most important law. And he quoted Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength. And he said, by fulfilling these two commands, a person keeps all the others. They summarize the Ten Commandments and the Old Testament moral laws. Jesus said that if we truly love God and our neighbor, we will naturally keep his commandments. That's why he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, because it's natural to do that. Does that mean you'll never make a mistake? Absolutely not. You will. But when you do, you repent. Does that mean someone will hurt me eventually? Absolutely. You will get offended. You will get your feelings hurt. But at that moment, you need to be quick to repent. Jesus said that if we truly love God and our neighbor, we will naturally keep the commandments. I love that. This is looking at God's law positively. Rather than worrying about all we should not do, we should concentrate on all we can do to show our love for God and for others. Romans 13 and verse 8, listen to this. Owe no one anything except to love him. Powerful. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. I love that. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 10 of Romans 13 says, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Pastor, can I discipline myself to do this? Absolutely not. You cannot. You cannot make a decision and discipline yourself to do this. That's called worldly guilty love. And worldly guilty love is futile without the love of the Holy Spirit in your life and in your heart. Without the love of the Holy Spirit being your motive to do ministry, your motive to bring somebody into the kingdom of God. It's empty and it's void. Love never seeks to harm another. Rather, it actively seeks the welfare and honor of all. Therefore, the man who acts in love is really fulfilling the requirements of the second table of the law. Do you realize when you take the Ten Commandments and you split them up, Moses had two tables. If you love God with all your heart, you fulfill half of the commandments. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you fulfill the other half. Do you realize that? You fulfill the law of God by loving Him with all your heart and loving your neighbor as yourself. Listen to the golden rule. Your first grade teacher didn't come up with it. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 12, "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." This is called love in action. Amen. Every time I have a burden and I come to the hospital and I pray with you, I'm not doing that to earn a paycheck. I'm doing that because my heart bleeds for you with the love of God. Every time Ron and Ann Irvin put together a food box to hand out to the community, that's love in action. Every time Steve and Brenda Wright minister to someone who's in addiction, that's love in action. Love in action. Loving out loud. Jackie and Randy, every time you take in a child, that's love in action. Doing unto others as you would want them to do unto you, because there may be a time in your life you're going to need the help and love of God by the Church of Jesus Christ. But sometimes we confuse love with enablement, don't we? Sometimes tough love is the best way to go. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens. And sometimes a rebuke is what is necessary. Sometimes it is. And sometimes I need to be rebuked. Sometimes you need to be corrected. Right? And we must be a people who can accept and receive critique. Because everybody in here can improve somewhere in your life. And if you ever get to the place that you feel like you don't have to or you don't need to, the Bible says pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And you are susceptible. Go to Luke chapter 10 with me. Everybody shout love out loud. Luke chapter 10. I want to read a parable to you from Jesus. Familiar, but I believe oftentimes we misunderstand the meaning. Luke chapter 10. Look at verse 25. Luke 10, verse 25. Listen. "And behold, a certain lawyer." This is the same lawyer from Matthew 22. Luke's just giving his account of it. "A certain lawyer stood up," verse 25 of Luke 10, "and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?'" How do you hermeneutically interpret this passage? That's what he's saying to him. How do you interpret the scriptures? And listen to what he said. He gave him a good answer. "And he answering said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' And he said unto him, 'Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live.'" But, verse 29, he thought he was smarter than God. He was trying to be evasive. Verse 29, "But he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" Who exactly is my neighbor? And verse 30, he goes into a parable. Listen to this. "Jesus answering said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite came by. When he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side." Verse 33. "But a certain Samaritan," this was a group of people that the Jews despised, would not have anything to do with. Listen to what it says. "As he journeyed," verse 33, "came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him." Everybody say compassion. Compassion. "He had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds," Verse 33 in the Greek actually says he was moved by compassion. Just as we are moved by the Holy Spirit to have compassion. Verse 34, and went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pints and gave to the host, and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou, Jesus said, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And listen to what he said. He that showed mercy on him. And then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Like some theologians and Bible students, the Jewish rabbis enjoyed debating the finer points of doctrine. This lawyer, this scribe, a student of the Old Testament law, wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. We get the impression that the man was not seeking truth, but was only trying to involve Jesus in a debate that he hoped he would win. The lawyer proved to be evasive when it came to facing truth honestly and obeying it. Our greatest responsibility is to obey the greatest of commandments, which the man quoted accurately, but we cannot, listen to me, we cannot rightly love God and love our neighbor without first being born again, without first being saved, without first being transformed by the power of God, without first being cleansed by the blood of the Lamb of God. We cannot experience love for God nor our neighbor. The parable of the Good Samaritan was given to answer the evasive question of the lawyer. The lawyer said, define your terms. That's what he said. This is an old trick of lawyers and debaters. Instead of getting involved in abstract terms, Jesus presented a concrete case. And the lawyer understood the point. We must not spiritualize this parable. Listen to me today. The point is simply that our neighbor is anybody who needs us. Anybody whom we can help. The hero of this story was the Good Samaritan, not the priest or the Levite, the Samaritan. And you say, who is my neighbor? But to who can I be a neighbor? Amen. Not who is my neighbor. Who can I be a neighbor to? Ronald Reagan says, you can't help everybody, but everybody can help somebody. I like that. What if you just took one person and concentrated on them for 6 months or a year? What if you just picked one person in your family, one person on your job, one neighbor in your neighborhood, and minister to them, pray for them, intercede for them, take them to lunch, show them the love of God? Everybody wants ministries that have 60 and 70 people that they can listen to them talk. Why don't you just pick one person? One person. If everybody in here would take one person, this church would double in a month. Amen. If you just concentrated on one. Just as Jesus went after the one. He left the 99 just to get the one. Why don't you do that? Why aren't you motivated to do something like that? Amen. To just help one person. Love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13. We know this passage, don't we? Listen to it. King James uses the word charity. That's a strong word. It's stronger than just phileo love. Love that just says, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. I appreciate you. Charity is agape love. It's love that is self-sacrificing. A love that looks beyond what you need and what you desire to the desire of others. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. In the context of spiritual gifts, the Apostle Paul is saying, Corinthians, you have a lot of gifts, but they're empty, they're void, they're useless because you're not motivated by love. You're motivated to be seen. You're motivated to just feel the presence of God. You're motivated to just have a mass hysteria and not the love of God. Because if you were truly motivated by the love of God, you would not be out of order in using the gifts of the Spirit. Listen to what he said. Verse 13, 1 Corinthians verse 1. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me. Do you realize there are people today, there are people in Hollywood who give charity donations. They give an abundance to the needy, to the poor, but it's all empty. It's all noise if it is not motivated by the love of God. What is he saying to the church? Everything we do is just making a bunch of noise. If we're not motivated by the power of the Holy Spirit to have a desire and a passion to reach a lost and dying world. Do you realize that? And if you don't have a passion for the perishing, you need to check your salvation. Did you hear what I just said? If you do not have a passion for the perishing, check your commitment to Christ. Your commitment and salvation go way beyond saying a prayer. It goes way beyond showing up here on Sunday morning. It goes to a deep place of a charitable burden, an agape love for a lost and dying world, to where you have to intercede on their behalf to see somebody born again. I've found myself with every person I come in contact with, they're either born again or they're somebody I'm going to get to be born again. Amen? And that's how you have to operate. That has to be the status of your relationships. Is this person, because folks, I'm telling you, just because they're your family, God is not going to say, oh, I'm just going to let him into heaven because you serve me. No, you need to make it a commitment. You need to make it a mission field. Amen. Amen. Your spouse, just because you're on fire and your spouse may be lost, they're not going to heaven on your coattails. Your children, they're not going to heaven on your coattails. They will only go to heaven and see the Heavenly Father by saying Jesus Christ is Lord. Verse 4, 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take into account the wrongs suffered. Another translation says it does not make list of things that have been done wrong. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Verse 8, love never fails. The word charity means love in action, agape love, a sacrifice for the good of others. I want to close with 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 and verse 9. It says this, above all, Peter said, keep fervent in your love for one another. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. Now we quote love covers a multitude of sins in just overlooking what somebody's doing. Well, they don't know any better. They're sinners. We're just going to overlook that. Let them join us. That's not what he's saying. He's talking about you there. Love covers a multitude of sins in that when you are offended, you are quick to let it go. Why? Because number one, you love God and you love people. But if you're quick to get offended, listen, that's a sign of spiritual immaturity and it's a sign of a lack of agape love, not only for God, but for your neighbor. Love covers a multitude of sins in that when you are done wrong, when you are offended, you say, I forgive and move on. Do it in your family. Do it in the church family. And the love of God will cover a multitude of sins. Do what Jesus did. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, what if we treated one another like that? Amen. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. He loved Peter. When Peter denied him three times after he resurrected, he said, go find my disciples. And then he said, tell Peter. Why? Because he loved Peter. He was willing to overlook the offense. And you should be willing to do the same. Amen. Stand to your feet. If you're watching and listening right here today, the love of God piercing your heart, your enthusiasm to want to know Jesus Christ is evidence that the Holy Spirit is convicting you and bringing you to the foot of the cross. And I pray today that you would simply say, Lord Jesus, I give you my heart, I confess my sin, and I call you Lord of my life. I believe if you prayed that by faith, believed in your heart, that God has transformed your life and that you are changed forever. And you will forever know the agape love of God. In Jesus' name, God bless you.